And good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're attuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio is Dionne Brady Howard, Managed Come Teacher, here to talk about the upcoming Alaska Federation of Natives Conference. Welcome to Morning Edition.
Thank you.
Well, you're heading up to AFN in October to represent the NEA Alaska branch, I assume. NEA, it stands for?
National Educators Association.
And you're active with the NEA?
I am. I'm active with the local union.
You've been teaching for, how many years? Was 18 years, I think.
This is my 18th year,
18th year. What do you teach?
I teach social studies, which over the years, when I first began teaching, not at Mount Edgecombe, I taught U.S. history and American government. And then when I began my career at Mount Edgecombe, I was teaching world geography and government, some Alaska issues, and then now I teach Pacific Rim Studies and Alaska History and U.S. government.
What brings you up to AFN representing the NEA? Why are you going there?
Well, initially we were kind of looking at it as being something that is maybe necessary in terms of just reminding people statewide about Mount Edgecombe as we have been entering into contract negotiations with the state since last year. Unlike other teachers' unions, you know, we don't negotiate with our local school board because our local school board is actually the State Board of Education. And our negotiations take place with the state labor union negotiators from the Department of Administration. And so our negotiations take place with professional labor negotiators. And we are the smallest union in the state as a unit at Mount Edgecombe High School for the educators. And so we're also at a place in our cycle of negotiations in which we kind of set the stage for whatever else the other labor unions might ask for comparably in terms of pay raise and whatnot. And so it was a thought that we needed to make sure that people didn't take for granted Mount Edgecombe and its staff and what we do. But of course, there's always a broader picture in terms of the need for exposure of education at a statewide level.
Well, at the Mount Edgecombe level, if we could just stay with that for a minute, Edgecombe went through a funding scare not too long ago. Has that propelled this emphasis at all?
I believe it has. I think that speaking as an alumnus and as the parent of a couple of graduates and as a teacher, there comes a point in time when you just take for granted the very existence of Mount Edgecombe as a constant and as something that you can count on always being there. In fact, when this did come up in the last legislative session, it was pretty shocking to the alumni and the parents out there across the state, the notion that Mount Edgecombe could even be called into question as far as whether or not it should be operational. And so I think that it did bring awareness to our entire Mount Edgecombe community, not just the people who are there now, but you know, we're a family that spans, you know, several decades. And then specifically looking at our state funding, you know, we're going on three decades now under the state of Alaska. And it was kind of a bit of a jarring wake-up call to the Mount Edgecombe community.
Legislators were questioning the relevancy in this day and age of Mount Edgecombe High School. What's your response?
Well, I think that the question that was asked that sort of spurred this whole debate of the existence of Mount Edgecombe was, do we need Mount Edgecombe when students have home communities that have schools that they could be going to instead? And it was sort of a question that missed the broader picture. I mean, granted, at one time, boarding schools existed because kids didn't have schools in their home communities, and that's not the case now. But that's not the niche that Mount Edgecombe fills now. The niche that Mount Edgecombe fills is that it provides an education for students who want different things than they can get in their home communities. And so when this question did come up and we were letting our students know what was going on so that they weren't being ruled and panicked by any kind of rumor or false information, we told them that this is the question that's being asked. And in any class that I let them know what was going on, you know, I received a resounding yes, we do need Mount Edgecombe. And the funny thing about it was, any class I would talk to, the different students in the class, you would get almost as many responses as you had students, because Mount Edgecombe is something different to each student who chooses to come.
You're obviously a passionate advocate for Mount Edgecombe High School. You're also a passionate advocate for teachers, which is that broader reason you mentioned for going up to the Alaska Federation of Natives Conference. What's that message, that broader message you want to bring?
Well, I've been teaching now for 18 years, and I know that when I first entered the field 18 years ago, which sounds like ages ago to my students, but, you know, to any adult would say, oh, wow, you know, that is a long time, but then it seems like a drop in the bucket to many. In that time, I've seen such a paradigm shift regarding the whole profession of teaching. You know, when I first began teaching, the pay still wasn't fantastic, but there was always that notion, and there was always that recognition from people when you would tell them that you were a teacher of, you know, it was actually kind of stereotypical and cliche, where they would say, oh, well, that's such a noble profession, and thank you for doing that, and you're so important to our kids and our society. And that's sort of the response you'd get from anyone, whether or not they knew your effectiveness personally as a teacher. There was sort of that recognition that the profession was of value. And in the last several years, since the main emphasis on education has been high-stakes testing and checking kids' basic skills, and that's kind of the end-all be-all on which the whole education profession and just education is judged, we've seen a really drastic move away from that sort of nod that people were willing to give to teachers, that our job is important, and an awful lot more criticism of teachers. And in addition to that, just sort of a questioning of the professionalism of teachers overall. And then not to mention the focus of all legislation you see now places 100% of the responsibility for student learning on the teacher. And granted, a majority of it probably does go to us because that is our profession. But there's no acknowledgement of the fact that education doesn't happen in isolation in schools, but that an emphasis of the importance of it needs to happen at home, a recognition of the importance of it needs to happen at the level of policymakers, not only looking at teachers as being the main vehicle for education, but society as being the main vehicle for education in terms of how much importance we place on it, how much we're willing to put toward the funding of the education of our children.
How is this shift you talk about that directs more and more blame towards teachers? How's that affected you personally?
I think that it'd be fairly easy to dismiss it. You know, when you hear a soundbite from a presidential candidate sort of denigrating teachers' unions or talking about how, you know, all we want to do is complain in our teachers' lounges about, you know, woe is us, I believe was the quote. And it'd be really easy to just let that roll off your back if there weren't policies that people are trying to design that go along with that fallacy that teachers are out here now just to get money, and that the only reason people are teachers is to get summer breaks. And that's something that when I first started teaching, I used to kind of hear it as people who knew me and were friends with me sort of joking with me about it. But now there's that very real notion out there that this is why people teach. And it's not just harmful to teachers in terms of the salaries and the increases that they're not willing to give us to even keep up with inflation. But as I said, this whole notion that, oh, public education is failing because the teachers are bad, we need to start moving toward, you know, vouchers, we need to start moving toward charter schools, we need to start moving our public funding away from public schools. And so it sort of goes part and parcel with a bigger picture than just denigrating teachers.
Is it harder for teachers to teach in this climate, do you think? Is it harder for you?
It is harder to teach, not because of the attitudes, but these policies that have arisen, which focus only on the basic skills, also mean that nationwide there's a lot more micromanaging that goes on of our profession, a lot less trusting of our professionalism, that the person who knows the job knows best how to do it. And instead, there are a lot more hoops that you need to jump through, and some of them are worthwhile teaching methods and strategies that they'd like us to pay more attention to, and some of them really are just hoops. Some of them really are this notion of a lawmaker who has, you know, maybe a PhD in law and thinks that because they have a really broad education themselves that took them a lot of years, that they must know a lot about education. And so you end up with some fairly nonsensical tasks that you have to do throughout the course of your day, which actually take your attention away from teaching.
Now, the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention is huge in the state for a whole variety of reasons. But as far as you're aware, this is the first time the National Education Association Alaska chapter has visited. What does that say to you?
I'm not sure. I mean, they may have rented tables there before. I can't really remember. I haven't been to an AFN myself in years. I had gone to a few in my younger years, but I think it just says that, you know, NEA Alaska, you know, is right in the trenches and knows that it's not just a PR issue, you know, to the point of, you know, improving the image, but really is a fact that at this point that the PR that's out there only being at the hands of the people who do those sound bites about teachers is harming the profession, and that we're going to have to step up our game in terms of educating people about what it is that teachers do.
And for your average attendee at AFM, what do you hope they take away from meeting you and talking with you about these issues?
For me, I guess I hope that the two main reasons that I see myself going up there are then things that they'll recognize. I hope to help improve the exposure of Mount Edgecombe and make sure that we remind people a little that the funding of Mount Edgecombe isn't an absolute, and that, you know, we did have that scare last year, and remind them that we do need to be visible on the statewide scene, and remind them that, you know, they have a Mount Edgecombe staff who's dedicated to ensuring that we continue to provide the high quality education that we've been providing, but also just to remind people that what teachers do in our society is a noble profession. I'm hoping to renew that notion to people that what teachers do is really affecting the fabric of the society and the leaders of our future.
Well, Dionne Brady Howard, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thanks.
We've been speaking with Dionne Brady Howard, a Mount Edgecombe educator who is heading up to the Alaska Federation of Natives in October 15th through 17th to talk about education and the NEA.